Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. In order to warm us up a little, although I have a very important announcement to make, at 6 o'clock this morning, the heat went on, and it is now going to be on at 72. They started at 68, they've moved it to 70, now we're at 72, so that you can be good and comfortable, okay? So now, though, just to make sure that the blood's circulating, please get up and pass the peace. Pass the peace of God to your neighbor sitting next to you and behind you and in front of you. Now, I hate to interrupt this wonderful, enthusiastic greeting time, but I would like you to please return to your seats. We don't have the song that we're singing. It's not in the bulletin, and we're working on doing something new, perhaps. But for right now, I need to make a couple of announcements for you. If you'll please look on the back of your bulletin, I've already made the heat announcement. The second important one is the men's club and dinner program. We are very fortunate to have Judge Moore as our speaker. So the men would really appreciate a good turnout. So if you could please make an effort. I know it's cold and you don't want to get out after dark and be around, moving around, but get out for this, okay? Men, please try to make it to the men's club meeting. You will notice the time and place, 6 on Tuesday, so that you can hear Judge Moore. I also want to call attention to the other item that's just under that. When we were discussing what to do about the early worship service, one of the things that folks said was they really would like some of that good old time religion, some of those gospel hymns, some of the ones out of the old brown Cokesbury hymnal, and some of those singing experiences. So that's on the agenda for the fifth Sunday. We're going to be doing it for the first time. It's going to be during the Sunday school hour. We're asking all the adults to come and participate in this sing-along. So notice that it will be in the fellowship hall. It's going to start at 10 o'clock instead of Sunday school. We are urging the Sunday school classes to come participate and help put a little bit of spirit and enthusiasm into our singing. So do put that on your calendar and mark it. Go ahead and read your Sunday school lesson. That won't hurt you. Go ahead and read your Sunday school lesson. But we would like to try this to see how it's going to work for the fifth Sunday. Now, would you prepare your hearts and minds for our worship service as the Trinity is chimed and as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Please stand for the call to worship. God is calling. Do you not hear? You are being called by name for a purpose. God, you have searched us and know us. You discern our thoughts from far away. Do not confuse the siren calls of the world for God's call. Do not confuse the values of this world for God's values. You know, O God, when we sit and when we stand. You know when we lie down and where we go. Your words and your deeds are known to God. You were known to God before you were born. Your knowledge of us is more than we can understand. Your thoughts embrace us amid all you have created.
Let us pray. We have come together, listening, God, because you have spoken your word of summons and welcome. We are drawn irresistibly to the promise of your presence and by the persistence of your call. Speak to your servants here in ways we can understand. We want to hear the message you intend for us. We want to listen, not because someone else needs to have it told to them, but because we ourselves are needy sinners. Your expectations of us are high and holy. We tremble before you, eager for the transformation. Amen. Our affirmation of faith. God holds this world in sovereign love. He kept his promise, sending Jesus into the world. He poured out his Spirit and broadcast his news that sinners who repent and believe in Jesus can live and breathe and move again as members of the family of God. We rejoice in the goodness of God, renounce the words of darkness, and dedicate ourselves to holy living. As covenant partners called to faithful obedience and set free for joyful praise, we offer our hearts and lives to do God's work in this world with tempered impatience, eager to see injustice ended. We expect the day of the Lord, and we are confident that the light that shines in the present darkness will find the earth when Christ appears. Come, Lord Jesus, our world belongs to you.
Old Testament reading this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house and from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew up. The Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. Our epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Verses 12 through 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is entitled to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to one Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Our gospel lesson comes from John chapter 14, verse 27. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you so much for this time of cold weather. We thank you so much because you give us all things. We ask you that you will bless our country, our world in which we live, our state, and our city. We give you thanks for Greenwood. And we give you thanks for Main Street United Methodist Church, one of the pillars of the Church of God in the Kingdom of Heaven. We thank you so much for everybody that has come. We come with hearts that are full of concerns and cares. May you hear our prayers. May you touch those whose life has been wayward. May you be with those who are sick and heal them. May you comfort those who have had a loss. May you be with us in our busy life. We give you thanks for this great church, but most of all for Jesus Christ. And we conclude our prayer with the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would like the ushers to come forward, please. Let us worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Heavenly Father, please accept these, our offerings and our tithes, and may they use to be a blessing to the people of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. If the children would please come forward.
And as they come forward, they are collecting money for Heifer Project International. So if you see a child coming up the aisle and have change, you might want to give it to them so they can bring it up.
I'm going to need to get some bigger boys and girls to come down too. If you think you're a little old for children's church, you may want to come on down this morning, because this is going to pertain to you as well. And if any of our adults want to come down for children's church this morning, it may pertain to you too. So if you'd like to sit down with the children this morning and join us, it may help. Well, what a good-looking group of boys and girls we've got up here. And I do see an adult or two making their way down. And as many more that want to come, I think it is going to pertain to you as well. But I bet a lot of you, I'd say probably all of you, your moms and dads have told you not to do things before. Has everyone's parents told you not to do something because it's maybe not right? Maybe you could get hurt. Well, the Lord wants us to do things as well, because we need to live in God's eye, and particularly in the Ten Commandments. And we do things that are not right to God. Sometimes it hurts God, and sometimes it hurts us as well. So I want to tell you that I'm a very, very old person. I am 65 years old. And sometimes my wife will tell me, you shouldn't do that. But since I'm 65, I think that I probably can do it and get away with it. But that's not true. So remember that, whatever your mom and dad tell you, not to do it. Now, first of all, you see a lot of things over here that if you went to a hospital, you may see. As a matter of fact, you may see some of these in our church. And the first thing that I would like to bring out this morning is what we call a walker. And some of our members of the church have to use walkers because it keeps their balance as they walk around. You probably have never had to use a walker, but my grandson is 5, and when he came to my house, he just loved to get on this thing and ride around on the hardwood floors. And he said, this is pretty cool. So this is a walker that if someone were hurt, they would put their hands here, and they would walk one step at a time and keep their balance. Well, if you're really hurt, you really need one of these, or if you have trouble walking. But as you get a little bit better, you can go up to what we call, does anyone know what these are called? Sticks, crutches, yes. And these fit under your arm, under both arms, and you put your hands down, and you pull yourself along as you take a step, and it keeps the pressure off of the hurt part of your body. Then, after you get through with the crutches, you move to what we call, and some of you may know what this is called. This is called a what? A cane. That's right. So we got the walker, we got the crutches, and now we have graduated up to the cane. And I hope you never have to use any of these, but someday you might. I noticed a few of our church members today use the cane to help them steady their walking. But the reason I'm telling you all of this is because on September the 25th, a Sunday night, just before dark, I decided some of my outside windows needed cleaning. Well, I had an 8-foot ladder and a 6-foot ladder. Well, the 6-foot ladder was just a little taller than me. It was a step ladder. So I said, I'll just get that, and I can clean the windows from the small ladder. But what I did, I said, I can't quite reach to the top of that 12-foot section. So I'm going to climb all the way to the top of the ladder and stand on the top of the ladder. And I didn't realize the top of the ladder was, does anyone know what color the top of the ladder is? Red. That means danger. And it also says, danger, do not sit or stand on the red part of the ladder. But that's okay. Remember, I'm very smart. I'm 65 years old. So it didn't pertain to me. So I got up on that, and I was cleaning away. And then all of a sudden, my body wasn't staying still. So I looked down, and there are four legs on that step ladder. Well, one of those legs was not on the deck floor. The other three were. But I tried to get that other leg to stand still, but I couldn't. And before I knew it, you know what happened? I fell bad. And it doesn't take very long to fall from this high to that low sideways and hit your body. Well, when you fall, you probably are going to get hurt. And some bad things can happen. You could hit your head on the railing like I almost did. It could have broken my neck. It could have killed me. Or I could have fallen and it could have hurt my back again, which had a big long rod in the back of it. But instead, it decided to break my leg. Now that's interesting. I hope none of you have never had a broken leg. God gave us all of our parts, and He means for us to take care of them. Well, when my wife came out to see what was wrong, she heard this great big boom! And that was me laying on the floor of the deck. And she came out and she said, did you hit your head? I said, no, I think my head's okay. Did you hurt your back again? No, my back doesn't hurt too bad. But my leg won't move. It's just laying over here to the side, and I can't make my leg move. She said, well, what were you doing on the ladder? I said, I was cleaning the windows. Once she found out that I wasn't going to die, she was startled and afraid something worse could have happened. Well, meanwhile, the ambulance came. They took me to the hospital. They operated and kept me for a week. But they put a great big long rod about the size of from here to here, from my knee up to my hip, and put great big screws in it to hold that rod in place. So I've got a screw in my leg. I'm the bionic man now, if you know what that is. But God protected me. God saved me from hitting my head. And what I'm trying to tell you today is, no matter what we think we can do, we always have to do what our mom and dad says are right, and particularly what God knows is right. I'm thankful to God that I'm alive today and can be talking to you, because it could have been real, real bad the other way. So do what your mom and dad say, and most importantly, do what the Ten Commandments say, because you don't want to be on the walker. You sure don't want to be on the crutches, and you sure don't want people to think you're like me and older and have to walk on one of these. But I'm going to get rid of this in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to kind of be like y'all are again, because God has made me whole. So remember, let's have our prayer. Dear God, please help us to understand that Thou hast given us this life. We are to take care of it because it is a God-given gift. And only we can protect ourselves with the help of God. Amen. So remember that, okay? Thank you.
may be seated. It is such a joy to be at Main Street United Methodist Church. I have known this church for many years. My daughter got married here, and I was so scared. Three times in my life, I was really scared. Fell off a mountain once. I was sent out to sea once. And the third time was Elise getting married. Whew! That's a scary thought. We are delighted. My son Adrian and Rhonda and their children are members here. And y'all have a long, wonderful heritage. I see my superintendent minister here. Isn't that just precious? Whew! I'm so glad to be here. Well, I noticed that y'all have water. Is this for baptism or something? I've never had water before. That is just neat. Anyway, I was at the early service, and I had a great time. And I heard that several of you were coming to the 11 o'clock service, and I says, oh, dear. Once of that sermon is enough. So I'm going to change it. Don't be scared. I usually do crazy things like that. Don't you love the choir? Yes. There is no doubt which way you're singing at Main Street. It is strong, it is good, and it is marvelous. Y'all look good. Take a moment to look at each other. Don't y'all look good? Yes. Anyway, I have one story. That's it. And the scripture is different. Scripture comes from the Gospel of Hebrews. I mean, the letter of Paul to Hebrews, 12th chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of God for the people of God. I'd like to thank you because y'all sent Sheila. Sheila, raise your hand. And Mama, raise your hand. Y'all sent us to the Caribbean to be missionaries. Thank you. It was wonderful. We lived only 500 yards from the beach. We lived in a tropical climate. We lived in heaven itself, and you paid for it. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We were there for 3 years, wonderful years. It wasn't easy all the time, but we started off, Sheila and I, with 7 churches, and then we went to 10 churches, and then we went to 13 churches. Sheila preached at 9 and 11. I preached at 7, 9, and 11, and that caught half of them. And the other half was done by local preachers, and we had a marvelous time. Main crop, bananas. I can give you 50 recipes for bananas. We also had goats, not bad. Sheep, not bad. Fish, not as much as you would expect. And, of course, the mainstay of all American diets is chicken. You know, we only had chicken, only the dark meat, and it was very good. And it was a spice island, so every valley, every place you went by, you smelled cinnamon and cloves. You smelled all the spices, and you could see all the trees that God has made to produce fruit. It was like the Garden of Eden. It was a mountainous country with 18 by 12 in size. Top speed, 35 miles an hour, and that's only for half a mile. We were very good at that. And we had many churches to build, parsonages to build. And so we invited work teams to come and be with us. Methodists, 10,000 strong out of a population of 115,000. The French who colonized it had the Catholic Church. The English who colonized it had the Episcopal Church. And we were the slave church. And we were the indentured church of the servants. And we grew in size to be one of the three great churches. All education and Methodism in St. Vincent started where? In the Methodist church. We're good at that. And so there we were, Sheila and I taking care of 13 work teams during our 3-year stay. That's how you build churches. You invite work teams. You have an extra place to do something here, which you already have a beautiful place. But if you need some more, get some work teams. They'll help out. They're great. And it's a small island, though. There's not much entertainment. They work for 5 days a week. On Sunday, they go to church, to 4 or 5 churches. I mean, they're exhausted after that. But on Saturday, it's their free day. So on Saturday, we'd go to the capital city. It was called Kingstown. And in Kingstown, you could shop, and I could go from one end of Kingstown to the other end of Kingstown, see everything there was to see in 2 hours. So in other words, there's not a whole lot of shopping there. The other thing you could do is you climb the semi-active volcano called the Soufriere. Yes, now that is a weekend. You had to walk it. So 1 week we would take the whole work team to Kingstown, and there they would spend all morning. I have no idea what they did with a whole morning in Kingstown. They must have been very slow shoppers. And then on the second weekend, we were going to the mountains. We were going to climb the Soufriere 4,000 feet high by foot in a tropical climate. And we were so excited, pumped up, ready to go. And so on the morning of beginning, it was at 5 o'clock that we got up, because after all, it is a long distance up there. And some of those work team members says, I'm going shopping. I don't know why you're going shopping. There's nothing else left there to see. But they wanted shopping, you know how it is. Maybe they forgot something. And so not everybody would join us, but enough would join us. And we'd get in these little vans, and off the coast we would go see the sunrise on the eastern side of the island. The Pacific Ocean was gray and wavy, and it was just marvelous fresh air. We'd have bananas for breakfast and bread and coffee. No milk. They didn't have any milk. And so off we'd go. When we got to Georgetown, we would change transportation systems. We would get into Land Rovers and Jeeps, because you left the highway and now you went into dirt roads and tracks. And off we would go, and we would see these beautiful coconut plantations. Also in the background, you see little crops growing here and there. That was the marijuana fields. Thank heavens, no work team member ever asked to go there. I was surprised, partially. I didn't know if they had ever seen one. Anyway, when we finished the road, we come to the end of the road, and it was just jungle in front. Off we would get up, and all of us would be full of energy, having eaten such good breakfast early in the morning. We would go into a tropical rainforest. It was a perfect rainforest. No poisonous snakes. The only wild animal is one animal that you are aware of, the possum. The possum was seen every so often. Orchids in the trees, hundreds of them. And then the thing that amazed me the most was bamboo poles. Bamboo is small here in the States. The biggest one is about 2-3 inches wide, isn't it? Something like that. In St. Vincent, with the climate we had them the size of pine trees and just as wide. I always wanted to get one of those and go out fishing. I catch a whale with that. It was nice. We would walk in the tropical rainforest. It was cool in the morning and fun, up and down a little bit. And finally, we came to a stop, and there was a river on a riverbed made out of the previous year's volcano eruption. And it was pure water. You could drink of it. So we would tell everybody to wash your feet down below, drink the water up front, and have lunch at 9 o'clock. Out would come the bananas, and out would come the chicken, and we would have a fine lunch, get ourselves, and we would tell everybody, now, great place to leave your stuff, because it's going to get harder. And so they would leave their stuff, hide them in bushes, nobody's going to be there. You can hide cameras, anything, it's fine. And then off we'd go, and then you go straight up. There are a lot, you hold on, you know how the best to climb? You hold on to trees. Grab one and you get up there, and you grab another tree and you get up there and you hold on to a rock, that kind of terrain. And the volcano had erupted just shortly before we got there. Everything is destroyed. All there is are stumps and grass and burned material. That was quite a volcano that erupted. And you can feel the wind, and it's getting cooler. And you're going up and down hills, up and down hills, up and down hills. And you look behind, and you can see where you've been, the gray Atlantic Ocean back there. And you can see in front of you, and you can see a cloud, big cloud. And we'd say, "Where's the volcano?" And the guide would say, "In the cloud." "Okay, are we far?" And the guide would say, "Oh, no, we're real close." They lied. They lied. Often down we go, up we go, down we go. We were exhausted. And finally, we would look behind, see where we've been, go forward, see the mountain, sort of just a cloud. And finally, we came to the bottom of a hill, and the river is, there's a river this wide. And it's still pure water. And right in front of it is just boulders going straight up. And we come to the foot of the mountain. To walk all that distance and to be at the foot of the mountain, and now you have to go up 4,000 feet, that's ridiculous. We lost some people at the river because they decided that was such a pretty place to stay. Now they come and look at that thing and says, "We like this place. We're going to stay here. Y'all come back and pick us up." They were in a ravine. It was the ugliest place in the world, but they were tired. They were wise. They stayed. And then the climbing became worse. And we started going up. Did you ever take 2 steps forward, 1 back? That's it. You know how to climb a mountain on all fours? That's the best way of doing it. We would climb, and the weather turned from 85 to 75 to 65 to 60. And we put on our little light jackets, and we're still cold. And then we went into the cloud. And we were as lost as we could be. And we said to the guide, "How do you know where you're going?" And he said, "Do you see the stones on both sides? Somebody has built a little mound of stones on both sides. If you see stones on both sides, you're in the path. If you see stones on just one side, you're off the path, but not by far. If you see no stones, you will never be found again." So we were very conscious of those folks who had gone before and placed those stones there, and off we go. And it was awful. Oh, we were just finished. And it was blowing hard, and we were in the cloud, couldn't see ahead, and all of a sudden we realized that our hands were touching level ground. And we had made it to the top. So only a 10-yard top, and then it falls again. So being the courageous missionary, I went on all fours. I'm not falling down that thing. And I finally came to one place that there was not a ledge anymore, and I looked down, and the wind blew, and I smelled the sulfur. And then I saw the fire and the smoke, still active. And the wind blew, and I saw behind me where I had been. It had blown all the wind, the cloud out, and I could see the Caribbean, and I could see Georgetown, and I could see the river and the path we had taken to get there. And I would look down, and it was half a mile straight down, and all I could see was fire and smoke. I never saw something scarier in my life. I looked up, and the sun brightened up. And it was beautiful. And then finally, I looked to the other side. And on the other side, I could see the green Caribbean Sea. And it was so beautiful. And that's climbing the volcano. Every single volcano that we had, let me see the time here. Every single volcano that every single work team we had, we went up. I went up 13 times. Elise must have gone up 10, 11 times. She was a guide. She was a good guide. And every work team, they would always have somebody that wanted to stay in our home at Mount Coke because they were going shopping, right? How many of you shoppers? Okay, we have to be honest about this. How many of you would like to get to the first river and stop there where it's beautiful? Some of you are the same people, you know that. Okay, how many of you would like to go to that awful place right before the mountain and stay there? Nah. Okay, how many of you would like to make it all the way up? Oh, that's okay. And that's what happened. Not everybody meant. We would lose people all the way. A few made it all the way up there. And I was thinking, this is the religious part of this sermon. Y'all start life in church, and many of you that are not here have decided never to embark on the journey, have you? You have many friends that have never decided to make religion, church, significant in their lives. Isn't that true? Because they're shopping and other things to do. And it's okay, that's their decision. And there are some of us that are here for a while. But then we kind of get tired of church. And we don't drop off all of a sudden. We slowly drop off, don't we? You have friends and I have friends. Don't we have friends that sang in the choir? They were good for a while and then they sort of just left. Is that true? It's okay. That's where they wanted to stay. And then when the going gets tough, really tough, and we've seen where we've been and we've seen that we still have a lot to go and we come down to this ravine, we decide to stop. I mean, we're tired out. We are middle-aged, getting old. It's enough of church. But then there's always those who say, like you, I'm going to climb that entire mountain, and I will be exhausted when I do. And I hope I make it back before I have a heart attack. But I am going to the top because people have said it's well worth the seeing. And when you start climbing that last bit, you get lost. You thought that you knew where you were going, Diarmond Kennedy. Early on in life, you don't. You find out later in life that you're lost. Still lost. I've been lost all my life. But I know where I'm going. I'm going up. And we come to a point that we have to climb that final climb, and it's the worst climb there is, and we're old. And all that's expected of us is to 2 feet forward and 1 foot back. And if you keep at it, the weather will change, you will be cold, you can't see ahead of you, and all of a sudden your hand will touch
level ground. And you will crawl to the edge of the mountain of God, as the passage says. And the wind will blow. And you will see the very depths of God. And the wind will blow, and you will see the brightness of God Almighty above you, clear and distinct, warm and nurturing. And you will look back, and you will see your life all the way back there, where you've come from, the journey you took. And then, at that moment, you will see the other side. And at that moment, you will say to yourself, it's well worth it. 13 times. Not a single work team made it all the way up. All of them. Except one. My senior citizens group. Everybody was over 65 except for a 19-year-old. We decided to go shopping this second week with them because three of them had heart conditions. Wise, right? You don't put a 65 to 85-year-old group going up a mountain 4,000 feet high. No, you don't. I tried to convince them, but somehow they got in their minds that they were climbing that thing. I said, that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. And they said, we are going to make a promise. Either all of us make it or none of us make it. Okay. I didn't leave at 5. I left at 3:30. They're slow. They are slow. I'm 64. I know I'm slow. And when we got there, they were so slow walking. All of them together, the pacemakers and all that with them. And we walked and walked and walked. By noon, we had gotten to the river. I said, oh, my gosh. Should have been here 3 hours ago. And when we went up, and when we started going up, it was awful because they really didn't have the ability to climb as well as we do. And they needed help. So we very gently held their hands and helped them up. But after about 15 minutes of that, we gave up. My children and I and Sheila and the young folks that were with us, we changed our tactics. You don't help people up that way fast. You just sort of push. And it doesn't really matter where you push. It was turning dark when they got to the mountain. It was near moonlight when we got to the top. Every single one of them made it. It was early in the morning when we got back. And to the best of my knowledge, they all survived at least 2 weeks later. I leave you with two questions. Are you going to climb the mountain of faith? It's hard. Are you going to do it? Second question is this. Will you lend a helping hand? That's all of us in this place are going to make it. Some folks can't make it by themselves, but they need your help. You can push them any way you want to. Are you going to be the one that lends a helping hand so that all of us in this great godly congregation will make it? All right, that's it. God bless us and keep us. Amen. Y'all are so sweet. Today, we have the privilege of blessing more prayer shawls than that will in turn be given to those in need the comfort of God's love while going through a hard time. These have been made by the prayer shawl ministry here at Main Street, the common thread. During the last hymn, please come up and lay hands on these shawls and pray over them. At the end of the hymn, those still up front, please stay with while the blessing of the shawls is given. our last hymn. Prayer. May God's grace be upon these shawls, warming, comforting, enfolding, and embracing. May these mantles be safe havens, a sacred place of security and well-being, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as difficult ones. May the ones who receive these shawls be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love. A benediction from St. Vincent. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us now and forevermore. Amen.